I was looking as I was preparing for this week. This particular sermon was preached by me the first time in March of 89. Some of you may not have been born then. The last time I preached it was in June of 97. So it's been almost 20 years since I had pulled this sermon out to use it. And there were just a few things that need to be adjusted. Because Facebook, I don't believe, existed then. And a few other things, and it was Facebook this week that got me to thinking about some of these things, along with our Bible study on Monday night in the book of Judges. And if you've not been able to be a part of that, you've been missing out, because there's some awful interesting things and things that I think were really important for us as far as individuals living in this world to contemplate. Paul says that these things were written for our learning, for our instruction. They will benefit us. They absolutely do. You notice in the reading this morning in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, that God is condemning Israel because of her idolatry. That's the main point that God is making. Israel, from the time she came out of captivity in Egypt, up until this point, until the point that God took her away into captivity, she has been wavering between two points. She's been like the sea. She has been drifting one way or the other. She has been thinking that she could serve God and at the same time serve the Baals. I think there's a secondary point in this passage that's important for us to get a hold of. And that point is that God, or that man, many times wants to just give God the leftovers. We sing a song, and I didn't find it in this songbook, but in Sacred Selections, it's number 595. Blessed are they who do His commandments, for they shall see God. You think about the book of Revelation. We are studying the book of Revelation on Wednesday night. In Revelation chapter 22 and beginning at verse 13, says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, though, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who wishes to take of the water of life without cost, come. I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues were written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which is written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Blessed are they who do His commandments. They will have the right to the tree of life. They will be able to see God and be with God eternally. I think there are a few ways in which men give God the leftovers. They give God the leftovers in loyalty. That's one of the things in the book of Judges. We are only a short period of time, and think about this now, about one generation, maybe two at the most, from coming out of Egypt when you get to the book of Judges. And these individuals have been wavering between serving God and serving the idols throughout this whole time. Their loyalty was questioned. And over again, we see their loyalty waning toward God. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 6th chapter in verse 33, in Matthew 6 and verse 33, He says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He's talking about the things of this life, the physical things. Those things will be taken care of if we will seek God first. That doesn't mean God's going to let down a sheet and He's going to feed us like He showed to Peter. We're going to have to do something for those things. But God will bless us with those things if we seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. You know, we're loyal to our job, to a TV program, to our family, to a sports team. Cheryl and I and her sister went to the red and white volleyball game last night in Lincoln, and Nebraska won. I believe Nebraska was the only one playing, but anyway. Loyalty. There is no doubt in my mind that Cheryl is loyal to the Huskers. Not a question in my mind about that. She truly is. She loves the sports. She's more of a sports fan than I am, in all honesty. We are loyal to organizations, whatever they may be. Jesus says in Matthew 22 and verses 37 and 38, Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, where He has been asked what the great commandment in the law is, He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Love more than anything else. That's what Jesus is saying. God must be loved above everything. He is the only one that really, really matters to us. There was this poll was about 20, it's 20 years old now. But I would almost suggest to you that if you took this poll again today, men were asked what the most important thing was in their life, and on this list of things that they were given to choose from, religion listed number 10 out of 11. That's 20 years ago. There is no doubt in my mind right now that it would probably be at the bottom of the list. Even if you had a longer list, it would be at the bottom of the list. Just this past week, fellows I work with made a comment. We were discussing something about our society, about the decision we're going to have to make in November between whomever may be running for president at that point in time. That our society has become less moral. Morality, they were talking about moral things. They recognize there is a standard of morality. But we don't recognize that tied with serving God. Because none of them go to worship of any kind. In fact, one later in the week made comment that once in a while he stops at the strip club. And my thought is, if you see this degradation in morality, why are you doing these things? I think back to World War II and the kamikaze pilot. He was loyal to his country, to being a suicide bomber. And today, we have that same loyalty to Islam. I think about the story someone told many years ago about a chicken and a pig giving for a banquet that the farmer was having. The chicken provided the eggs and the pig provided the ham. Which one was truly committed to the farmer's meal? We give God the leftovers sometimes in our time. And this is the one where I got to thinking about it because of Facebook. In Colossians 4 and in verse 5, Paul says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. The King James Version says here, redeeming the time. And redeeming is the idea of buying something or paying for something. Vine says about this word that it's from the middle voice and says, to buy up for oneself, making the most of every opportunity, turning each to the very best advantage, since none can be recalled if missed. Therefore, we're making the most of every opportunity of the time that we have in this life. We are busy people. Busy, busy, busy. We commit time for our job. We commit time for our family. We commit time to sports. We commit time to entertainment. We commit time to all kinds of things, but we find to have difficulty in finding time for God. I shared a post that was a year old this past week on Facebook, and it's about the title of it was, I can't attend worship / Bible class because. These things always get my attention because just a week or so ago, I had to work late on Wednesday night. I didn't get home until 6 o'clock, and Cheryl had already, she had to work that evening, and so she was already gone. It's 6:30. It has been a hot, miserable day in sand in South Bend, Nebraska. The temperature was in the 90s. The heat index was in the hundreds. I was feeling pretty miserable. I really didn't want to get ready to come to services, to Bible class. But you know, I had a grandmother who considered if you were 15 minutes there, 15 minutes ahead of the services starting, you were late. If she wasn't there a half hour before services started, I can't think of the time. Health would have been the only thing that would have kept her from doing that. And I'm struggling with this idea. Do I really want to go back out into the heat and go that 10 miles, whatever it may be, to the building for Bible class? I'm not going to have time to shower. I am certainly not going to smell very good. And so I'm struggling with this. And all the while, my conscience is bringing up these things. You know, the Bible class is really good. It's been really enjoyable. Jeff's doing a fantastic job on Revelation. It's really interesting, and I really don't want to miss that. And so I finally decided I can at least change my clothes. At least that'll get rid of some of the smell, and I can put some clean ones on, and it maybe won't be too bad. And so here I showed up. And you know what? It was absolutely the best thing I could have possibly done. Because I got to see all of you and I got to participate in that Bible class. And learn something maybe that I didn't know beforehand. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But sometimes we struggle with that idea of giving God our time. And then this little article says, I'm too busy with work right now. I'm just too tired from work. And you know what? The older I get, the tireder work makes me. Right, Dave? I need a break from work, so we went out of town. It's summer, and we did some recreational activities with the kids since they're out of school. It's school time for the kids, and they have all the homework and the extracurricular activities. My favorite show / sporting event was on television. We had company / family come in from out of town. Now, the last line says, now tell me again how Jesus comes first in your life and family. That's why I couldn't miss Wednesday night, although I got home at 6:30 and I needed to be here at the building at 7. This would have bothered me the rest of my life. There were some comments made to that particular post by an individual that I'm very familiar with because she's my son-in-law's mother. I'd like to read that to you. And I want you to think about what she's saying because I think it's important. And I think she has some valid reason. But I want you to really think about it. She says, first of all, that the first two concern me as not like the others. That was the one, I'm too busy with work right now and I'm just too tired from work. You must work to provide the needs in life. And your health may not allow for that. Yeah, I understand that. I have bad knees and my back. I go see the chiropractor on a regular basis. And he appreciates that. And so you work here where you can, that will agree to half day Sunday so you can go to services, and that's a good idea. And no other day. And then someone else gets ill and you can get extra hours for money you need for medical items. So you have to work every hour you can. You're sick and you're still trying to bring in all you can for the bills. You're working overtime to help and you just cannot make it to Bible study. But you make it to services because you were able to get enough sleep so that you did not fall asleep during sermon or communion, and you were even able to help or lead a prayer. That's our life. Some people really do their best. And I agree. There's not a doubt in my mind that that isn't the case. I know individuals. I remember individuals. They set an example for me. I remember an old couple, hunched over, coming to the Bible meeting. That impressed me. My grandmother impressed me with that dedication to God. I understand this aspect of growing weaker. But I wonder sometimes. And so my response to this individual was this. It really sounds tough. And I have no doubt that it is. I just wonder what the Lord will say. We seem to be able to justify just about everything we want. You see, that's really what I was doing that Wednesday night. I was trying to justify myself not being here. But then I don't know everything, and that's why God's the judge. And oh man, am I thankful for that, because I wouldn't be very good at it. Her response to that was, we are confident that he is merciful and righteous judge and knows all the truth. And I have to agree. I absolutely agree with that. Yes, we should be very thankful, is my response, that he is a merciful God. And that ended that text. But you know, I got to thinking about this later, because of our study in Judges and in the Old Testament. There is clearly evidence in the Old Testament that God's patience has limitations. And I got to thinking about that, and that makes me think that There is a limitation to God's mercy too. God's mercy is extended every time in the Old Testament to those who repent and come back to Him. But His mercy is not extended to anyone else. And I think that's really something for us to really think about and contemplate. Sometimes we justify for ourselves our behavior because God is merciful. But I think we need to really ask ourselves, will He be merciful in this case because I have made the choice not to do what I know He would be pleased with? You know, we make time for the things that are really important for ourselves, don't we? We made time last night to go to Lincoln, Nebraska, so we could watch the Husker girls play volleyball. In Psalm 90 and verse 12, the psalmist says, "Teach us to number our days that we may present to Thee a heart of wisdom." That's the idea of making sure we're using each day as best we can so that we're showing to God a heart of wisdom. You know, this has been about 30 years now. I was in Indianapolis, Indiana at the time. I was doing telephone work. This was before I even started preaching. And we were discussing a job. I was discussing doing a different kind of work with some individuals. And the comment that was made was that you need to have quality time with your kids and the quantity really doesn't matter. Let me tell you, that's a false concept and it's been around a long time now. Our kids need quality time, absolutely, but I'll tell you what, they need quantity too. The reason our society is in the condition it is in, they've not been getting the quality or the quantity that they need. And we need to give God the same thing. He needs quality from us, but He needs quantity too. Come across a poem, it's called A New Day. This is the beginning of a new day. I can waste it or use it for good. What I do today is important because I am exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving in its place something that I have traded for it. I want it to be a gain, not a loss. Good, not evil. Success, not failure, in order that I shall not regret the price I paid for it today. I don't know who the author of this particular poem was, but it makes sense. It's good for us to think about. We sometimes give God the leftovers when it comes to our money. And yes, we work hard for it. There isn't any one of us that doesn't work hard for it. We have to put a lot of effort in sometimes for that work that we get. But you also know what you have to pay for those things that you receive or that you buy. You've got bills, and I've heard this complaint many times. I've got bills, 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 bills. Yep. So do I. So do I. And they do not get smaller as time goes by. I also realize, when I was thinking about that particular aspect of this, it was during a period of time in my life when I was trying to figure out what I ought to contribute to the Lord on Sundays. And I was thinking with myself, you know, it would just make it so much easier, Lord, if you just told me what to give and I could, no problem, do that easily. But you know, and I think I thought that because that's what God did in the Old Testament. But they didn't all do what was right either then either. You see, what it was really about is my attitude toward God, my love for Him, my care about Him, and His message being carried to the world. That's really what it's about. And when I was struggling with this, and then this was before I became preacher, it was a struggle because we had all kinds of obligations. And you know what? It took me a long time. It took us a long time, not just me. It took us a long time to get the obligations cut down so that we could give to God the way we really needed to. You have to reassign things. You have to prioritize things. You have to change things. You have to stop doing some things. I should have learned that from my parents, but I didn't. I had to learn it for myself. How do you sow? Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9 and verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 and 7, he says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." I want to be that kind of giver. I want to use what God's given me to His glory and for His benefit. Not always easy. I may have to change some things in my life to accomplish it. We're told to do that on the first day of the week. We've already done that this morning. We're to put aside and save for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. Remember in Mark 12, Jesus sat by the treasury and he was observing those who were coming and giving to the treasury. And he made the comment that a poor widow who had come by and put two small pennies in had given more than all those who had given before her, and they had given large amounts. Because he says they gave out of their abundance and she gave out of her need. She gave all that she had. It was that important to her. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not suggesting that you have to give everything that you have to the Lord. Not what I'm saying at all. But we need to sometimes reevaluate how we're giving to the Lord. You know, I think about it this way. We sometimes try to give to the Lord like we're tipping at a restaurant. Don't we? If the elders do a good job, or the deacons do a good job, then we'll tip them well. If the preacher doesn't preach over and step on my toes, then we'll give well. Well, I'm apt to preach over. In fact, I remember a few times when a lady in one congregation, she would leave before the sermon was halfway over because the Knights of Columbus were having a meal that day and she wanted to get in the head of the line. That always concerned me. There's a danger there in that, don't you think? We also rob God. We fail to do anything but give Him the leftovers when it comes to our ability and our energies. I might just mention here that we are in need of some Bible class teachers. Just saying. I do have the material, and you can be prepared for the next quarter. I believe that's in the classes for the children and also for the adults. You come home from a job tired, too tired to do personal work. There are a lot of successful people who never get used, never use it for the Lord. Take a look at Luke 12. Luke 12, and I want you to notice with me verse 48. Luke 12 and verse 48. "And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act," oh, I'm sorry, verse 47. or act in accordance with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and accomplished or committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrust much, of him they will ask all the more. Sometimes, in fact, that kind of reminds me of a time several years ago. I was working in Illinois doing concrete work there and preaching also, and was a young man who was in his early 20s that was working with us, and he asked me the question. He says, how do you old guys just keep going? And this was in the middle of the summer, so it wasn't any too cool then. He says, how do you guys just keep going? No breaks. You don't take any breaks for lunch. You just go and go and go. And, the thing is when I was growing up, the thing that I remember being taught was you go and you do the job, and when the job's done, then you go home. There's none of this, you got to take a break here and take a break there, and you go and you do the job until the job's done. And then you quit. My job for God is not done when my job for Hoffman Concrete is finished. My job for the Lord will not be done. Your job for the Lord will not be done until this life comes to an end for you. We need to remember that. You know, teachers all of the time see children who do not apply themselves. I'm sure that's one of the biggest frustrations that teachers have, is children who just simply have the ability but just simply will not apply themselves to those things. I was one of those kids. Know about that. Coaches have to see the same thing. What about God? Is he seeing that in us? Think about Matthew 25 and the 10 virgins. The 10, there are 5 who were wise and the 5 who were foolish. The 5 who are foolish because they made no preparation. They didn't get ready. They didn't prepare in case the bridegroom delayed in his coming, in which he did. Or even the talents, the 5, the 2, and the 1. The men with the 5 and 2 talents, they used theirs. The man with 1 talent did not. He didn't even put it to usury, that is, at interest. I remember the slogan for the army, and I'm not sure that they still have this, but be all you can be. Yeah. Well, be all you can be for the Lord. Too many of us are willing to let others do all of the work. Am I one of those? We sometimes give God the leftovers in life. Other things. There's so many other things to do. We just don't have time for anything for the Lord. Nothing in life for the Lord. You see, religion is for old people and kids, isn't it? Religion is for old people because they're too old to do anything else, and kids, well, they're just, they're kids. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Those evil days are the days that I've approached to, or am approaching. I don't want to enter those days and look back and say, there wasn't anything I did that I should have done back then. I want to look back on those days as good things. Days that I did do the things that the Lord needed done. Or even what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. In 1 Corinthians 6, in verses 19 and 20, he says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus Christ, and therefore you ought to use your body to glorify Him. Or Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves or your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, or as the King James says, your reasonable. This is what's really expected. This is what God expects of us. To present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice for His service. You've heard people say, well, music is his life, or tennis is his life, basketball his life, his job is his life. I've known a few who had their job as their life. That was the only thing that was important to them. Well, in Colossians 3 and verses 3 and 4, Colossians 3 verses 3 and 4, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Christ should be our life. Paul says in Galatians 2 and in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Is Christ your life? Is He living in you? You see, God does not expect me to do what Jeff does. God doesn't expect me to do what Dave does. God expects of me what Raymond can do, and nothing more than that. He expects the same thing of every one of us. He expects us only to do the best that we can. The question is, are we doing that? If not, then today is the day that that should change. Because God's only merciful to those who deserve mercy. Those who have been obedient to Him, who follow Him, and obey Him. Are you one of those? If not, then now's the time to change. Make your life right with God. God's desire, our Bible class this morning focused on that point as well. That Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And that God wants the same thing. God doesn't want to punish anyone. God doesn't want to send anyone to hell. But that does not mean that He won't. The difference is your service to Him. If it needs to change, change it as we stand and sing.